This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I am Kate. But this week, we have a special guest.
Yeah, we do.
So a lot of you might know Dr. Will Toe. He can be seen at every conference known to man. He can be seen on Instagram, Facebook, and all social media. But the reason that he made his way into our hearts is because of his great content and kind of courses that he gives to lots of students on negotiation. And especially since you just recently bought a practice, you've negotiated contracts to buying a practice, to just being in practice, to hiring associates. Like, I mean, you've been on all sides of the table when it comes to negotiations, as well as you just have a really great business mind. So we're, Rachel and I are really passionate about negotiation and really passionate about closing the wage gap. And Will, you're just also passionate about, you know, doing all those same things too. So we thought you would be just a great addition to our team this week. So
we are so glad you're here. So what did you bring to eat? Just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, first of all, I do appreciate the invite to be here. I don't know about a special guest. Maybe I'm slightly above average at best. but honestly, you know, like I said, I really do appreciate being here. I mean, like you were saying, you know, me being able to give back to the profession, to the community, to the students, that's always a big passion of mine. So anytime I can do more there, I always try to.
And we love it too. I know I was like, all of us have been like really appreciated that. And I know so many students have too. So this is just like another opportunity for us just to kind of keep making optometry stronger. It's just so exciting.
So you're like our guinea pig because we've come up with some questions that we want to ask you. And, you know, when I was imagining these questions, I was envisioning like inside the actor's studio, like what's your favorite swear word, that kind of thing. And you can tell me what your favorite swear word is if you want to. I'll just bleep it. Let's go through these questions and see what you have to say.
All right, let's do this.
Kate, you want to start us off?
Yeah. So we'll start by tell us a time that you negotiated. It can be salary. It can be benefits. It can be, you know, if it was a frame line.
Even your lease. I heard you talking about that.
Lease. Yeah. Anything of the above. When is the time that you negotiated? And it doesn't have to be successful either.
Yeah, that's true. Those are important stories to hear as well. Honestly, it happens all the time. It doesn't matter. You know, there's life is a negotiation, right? There's always something you're trying to do, something you're trying to, you know, projects that you're working on. It's not necessarily just your job opportunities, or purchasing a practice or whatnot. So honestly, it's just one of those things that if you have the skill set, you don't have to be the best of the best, but just having at least a basic understanding and a basic skill set will take you really, really far in life. Honestly, yeah, there's so many different examples. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the people who are probably listening to this are more thinking on the career mindset. And honestly, really the first thing I just want to make sure everybody understands is that a negotiation is something that you really have to be careful not to negotiate with yourself. That's always my number one rule. You know, and the biggest example I have for this is, you know, one of the first positions I ever applied for, I interviewed, you talk with the doctor, you connect with them. And then at some point you get some kind of offer and, you know, you're taking a look at this contract, whatnot, and you're trying to look at little things that you may not, you know, you want a little bit more here, you want to get rid of this over here, things like that. And sometimes you get this overwhelming sense of, you know, am I asking for too much? Am I trying to, I don't want to be that guy. You know, I don't want to be that person who's, you know, they always accuse young people of being entitled. And it's like, am I asking for too much? So, cause I feel like there's maybe five or six different things that I might want that's different or more. And that's a lot. That seems like a lot to ask for. So the problem is, you know, I don't want to seem greedy, right? I don't want them to look at me like that. And so, you know, this perfect example of this contract that I had with this doctor, you know, I found about five or six things that I wanted to, and I was a little hesitant because it seemed like much. So I kind of dialed it back just a bit in terms of what I really wanted. I emailed the doctor, you know, these are kind of the things I think I need. And if you could help me out a little bit more here. And then in an hour, the doctor emailed back and said, sure, let's do it.
And you're like, what? I wasn't needy? Like, yeah. It was reasonable?
Honestly, my first reaction was, yes, I got everything I wanted, right? My second reaction was, oh no, I got everything I wanted, which probably meant I didn't ask for enough, right? Because if they just said yes without any type of pushback, that means I messed myself up. I negotiated with myself. I was a little bit scared to ask what I really wanted, what I really needed. And now I'm stuck in this position because it's not like you can ask for more right after you already gave a list of things you wanted. Definitely not professional, not good taste to do something like that. But, you know, it's because I negotiated with myself in the first place that now I'm in this position that I'm not where I compromised without actually asking for anything. I already compromised within. And then here I am. So just that's the biggest thing by far. Number one is don't negotiate with yourself. If you do feel strongly about something or you feel like you need certain things within your career or certain things that maybe not right away, but are upcoming, just ask. It doesn't hurt to ask because you'd be surprised what people would be willing to say yes to. And, you know, for you, it might seem like a big ask, but for them, it's about right.
I feel like just leaving school in your first job, I'm like, I look at the salary and I was like, this is more than I've ever thought was possible in my entire life, you know? And I was like, what is, you know, and I've seen other people like kind of, you know, just like kind of be like, okay, well, we're just going to take the salary and just go for it when really they want to take care of you. The person that's hiring you wants you to feel valued and cared for. And so by saying, hey, these things could be better, I need a little help. I think it gives opens up that conversation too for them to say, okay, well, this is what they need in their lives. I want to support them in that way. But also, I was reading something recently that talked about, you know, if you say, well, what about this? And then you keep going and going and going, either one person will ask for too much or not enough. And so I think that's just a perfect example of saying like, okay, well, I thought this would work. And now, I didn't shoot for the stars. I just shot for the moon and I made it. But like, there's so much more that I could do.
You always want to make sure you build in some kind of flexibility because one of the things that you put it, you said it exactly perfectly, which is what you thought you wanted, especially right when you graduate, may not necessarily be what you actually want 6 months after graduation or a year after graduation. So you don't want to lock yourself into something that, you know, when you're first starting off sounded like a great idea. And all of a sudden, not so great 1 year in. So having room for flexibility really, really matters as well, too. I honestly think the biggest thing for me that I think most young ODs or new graduates or students really need to understand is they really need to do a lot of self-inflection and really think about what really matters to them. I think one of the biggest things that people do is they jump straight to salary, which very important, very important. You know, you want to get paid for your skills. You paid for all the training that you did, you know. And I think, though, you tend to notice that people that don't know what they actually want tend to just settle for more pay. When certain things, you know, if you really take a step back and really think, what really matters to me? What do I really want? Then you know what to ask for. Here's a good example here. I have a friend of mine. He graduated a little bit before I did, a couple of years. So he's been out about, we'll say, 5-6 years by now. He has not gotten a raise since he first graduated. He's working at the same position, has not gotten any more pay. But he gets 6 weeks of PTO a year.
Oh, jeez.
Because every time it came up where he wanted, where he could potentially have negotiated more salary, he said, I don't need more salary. I get paid well. I'm fine. Give me more PTO. And the doctor gave him that instead. So now he has 6 weeks of PTO. He has a young family. You know, a 2-year-old and a few month old baby. 6 weeks to me of PTO sounds way better than just getting a little bit more on the top.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you have a family and you need that flexibility. Like, that's huge because he understood that, he wants to get paid well. And he does get paid well. But what really mattered to him was getting time off to spend with his family. That's a big deal. So when you understand yourself, you understand your situation, you know what to ask for. When you don't, you tend to just ask for money, which is not a bad thing inherently. But there's better things to ask for than just that.
So what kinds of things are open to negotiation?
Honestly, everything. You'd honestly be surprised what you could come up with. Everything's always on the table. I mean, obviously things like salary, certain benefits, you always hear about medical, dental. Hopefully you don't need vision. I mean, I hope they help
so you were. Maybe you need to find a new practice if they're trying to offer you vision.
Right. So, you know, things like that. But I've seen some really, really creative stuff. There's this one, like a signing, obviously a signing bonus, a moving bonus. Mm-hmm. If you need to relocate, obviously helps. This is one that I thought was always the most interesting. I saw, I've only seen this one time ever talking to a friend. He has something called a wellness stipend that he negotiated in, mm-hmm. which basically he gets $500 a year. It's not a whole lot, but it's $500 a year where he gets to spend on wellness. The practice reimburses him. So whether it's on a gym membership, new running shoes, any type of equipment, because we all know that the healthier you are, the more productive you are at work, less chance of getting sick. So if it's something where, the practice is willing to help you out in something, it's, not a big expense at all, $500 a year, but it helps you be healthier. Why wouldn't they? Yeah. So honestly,
that's really
literally
creative.
Whatever you can come up with, as long as it makes sense and you can kind of show value both to the doctor who owns the practice and to the business, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to ask for it. Things I see is obviously having them pay for your malpractice, your AOA dues. A lot of people don't realize if you're a student now, I think you pay something like $50, $60 a year.
Yeah, like nothing.
Yeah. AOA, or I know this depends on which state you're in and which region you're in, but when I have to pay my full AOA dues, that's like almost $3,000, $3,000 a year. Here's another one too, CE, right? You all attend conferences. You mentioned I attend a lot of conferences myself. I know $75 for registration hurts mm-hmm. when you're a student, but when you're a doctor, you make more money. That's more money that they're going to ask from you. So conferences like Academy, Academy is mm-hmm. a little bit tougher to get to when you're mm-hmm. a doctor. If you're not a fellow, registration can cost up to $900. That's a lot. So, hey, if you can get the business to pay for it at $900, is there a difference between you making an extra $1,000 and them mm-hmm. saving you $1,000? Pretty much the same. So, yeah. And so that's the thing. And it's work and it's a business write-off. So why mm-hmm. wouldn't the practice want to do it? So in a lot of ways, you can make things make sense where the business, can write off a bunch of things instead of having to pay you more, and everybody wins. So stuff you're going to do anyways, mm-hmm. but you need CE no matter what you do. Going to conferences is nice to meet people and mm-hmm. hang out with your old classmates again.
No, that's a one beautiful part of my contract is also my CE days don't count towards PTO. Some do, some don't. And I made sure that I can, I went to Orlando and for Academy this past year. And so I was like, okay, I have those CE days. And now I'm like, wait, what can I take as CE days that's also a vacation somewhere so I can kind of put like everything together? So maybe my husband can come with me and stuff like that. Like we had, a woman that had her family and her went to Kansas City for Heart of America this weekend. And, she got to take her family and her hotel was covered because they just stayed in one hotel room. And so it makes sense that you can kind of, even though it's a write-off for the full practice, you can make it benefit for you in unique ways.
Yeah, honestly, like I said, it's, and that's why I said a big part of it is really understanding what you want. Really, like what matters to you? What do you value? What do you need? Not just in your professional life, but in your personal life, right? Certain things matter to you and you really need to. And I see too many people making this mistake all the time. And, work-life balance, as I know, is a term that you hear tossed around all the time. That's also a very regional thing. I talk to my friends in New York City, and for them, work-life balance is, they like the hustle. I live in California. We like to relax a lot more. They like to hustle in New York. I get it. It's a different culture. But some that may matter more or less to you. Is there a difference between, here's another example here. I have a friend who he probably makes, we'll say 20% more salary than I do. Mm-hmm. Right. Pretty good. That's a good chunk of change. But he also sees literally 2 to 2.5 times more patients than I do. Is that worth it? I don't know. Depends. Every single day I talk to him, he's like dead. He's exhausted. He doesn't want to do anything because he's just, mm-hmm. he lives for the weekends. He literally just lives for the weekends. And he works Saturdays. So he lives for Sunday, right? Pretty much. I feel like I have a good time every day. I go out, after work. I hang out with friends. I catch up with people. Weekends for me are, the same. I have just as much fun during the week as I do during the weekend. Does that – so who has a better life?
Yeah.
Hard to say. He likes his life. I like my life. It's different. But you when you understand that I know what I want. He knows what he wants. And we're both happy with our life and our careers. Mm-hmm. There's no loser here, right? We both understood what we wanted and we got what we want.
So what do you wish that you knew then that you know now? Like when you were first starting out, what's one thing that you wish you would have known that would be good for other people to know?
Oh, so many things. Honestly, the big thing, I mentioned this a little bit in my the podcast with Daryl as well too, Daryl Glover, which is, in the real world, I don't think there's anybody that ever works against you. Nobody looks down on you, as a young OD, a new graduate, nobody's looking down on you and trying to stop mm-hmm. you from doing what you want to do. But I think not that many people are in a rush either to help you. Like, they do want to help you. We all kind of take care of each other. And that's the biggest thing is, like, a lot of this is you have to be willing to put the time and the work and the energy in yourself. And while you have your colleagues and your mentors who are there to support you, I think, the difference between when you're a student and when you're a doctor, you really got to kind of put it on yourself a lot to really take care of what you need to do for yourself. And like I said, you have everybody around you who will support you and help you, but everybody else has their own things going on too. So, I mean, not to say that, I don't want anybody to take a very pessimistic view of the real world, but I think, you work so hard in optometry school, you do everything you need to do to graduate, to pass boards. But afterwards, you still need to keep working hard. It's not like it's easy afterwards too. So you got to put the work in. You got to, like I said, figure out what you want. You got to ask for what you want. You got to be able to show the value up front and not just hope that people will just, now that you're a doctor, I see this mistake happening a lot. Now that you're a doctor, things are just going to get handed to you. That's definitely not true at all. So that's the one thing I would say. I would kind of let people know, like, when you graduate school, that's just the beginning of another journey. You're not done. You're not at the end of anything. You're just starting off. And you better, keep that momentum that you have as a student, that optimism, that momentum, and keep pushing it and keep riding it as much as you can, because you're going to need it.
I think that I just had that kind of moment a couple weeks ago. We have a really great ophthalmologist in town that she does a lot with all of us in optometry. And we were talking on the phone and she said, I said, yeah, this transition year has just been tougher than I expected. I thought I'd come out of school and be like, yes, I know how to practice. Like, I know how to negotiate everything. I can do everything I need and I'm constantly going to be confident and I'm going to know exactly what's going on in life. And I felt just, so much more of, what do I even know what I'm doing? Like, what is going on? Like, I feel like I've sent stuff to people that like they're fine. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And she goes, everybody goes through this. She goes, this is not, you are not alone. She goes, she was a lawyer before she became an ophthalmologist. She's a retinal specialist. Yeah, I know. So she literally was a music teacher and now a lawyer and now a retinal specialist. And she goes, my first year of every single one of my jobs, she goes, I felt like I had no idea what I was doing. She was like, but she goes, the hardest thing with medicine is you feel like you have people's lives at stake. And she goes, yeah, it's their vision and it's not like the end of the world. But she goes, you have their just physical health at stake. So you just feel more of that stress and that nervousness. And so she just said, she kept reassuring me. She goes, this is why we're all here. She goes, I don't know when you're struggling. She goes, because you're going to just keep working and keep going. And I'm not going to know, but you have to reach out and ask for either help or say, I don't know, or say, I do know. And I think we're doing something wrong, and say something. She goes, we're just working hard too. And we're just working alongside you and don't always remember what that was like. And we just don't even think about that on a daily basis. So I think that's just it's just so good to also hear you say, like, the real world is hard, but there's people out there that are willing to help, because that's such a true statement that I think I felt so much this past, 6 months of being an adult optometrist.
Yeah.
So, Will, tell us about your secret talent. Do you have one?
What have you heard? No.
I'm not going to tell you. Tell me.
Oh, this is funny. If you're going to talk about the most, random, I do a lot of stuff. The funny thing is I do all the social media things, and I put a lot of it out there. So I feel a lot of people do know me. I put a lot of stuff out there, whether you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these different things. Cause I'm not saying everybody has to be like me and do that. I'm not scared of the spotlight. It is what it is. The world is pretty open in my mind, and you know, I just like to have fun. The funny thing is, so I like to go out a lot. I still like to go dancing and all this stuff. And I'm not good at it, you know, go karaokeing. I'm not good at it, but I like doing it because it's fun to me. But if you had to say like one secret talent, because I know there's only one thing I can, right when you said that, I think I thought of right away that just like blows people's minds. And it's like the most random thing. It's not that impressive, but it kind of is, which is not going to be useful in a podcast because you're not going to be able to see it. I'm so excited. But I can... So random. I can actually lick my elbow, which is like, I don't know why it blows people's mind.
Oh my God.
I love it.
It's like a bar trick thing that's like, nobody that's can hilarious. Do that. It's like, watch me do it.
That so, is so like awesome.
I can't really show you, you the podcast, but I can do it.
Okay. And now I'm trying it.
Oh my God.
And I can't do it.
Everybody needs
that's
a party trick.
Awesome.
Everybody needs
okay. a party trick. Okay. That question is my new favorite question. Your turn, Kate.
I think also, no. I think you could also use this in a negotiation and be like, you know, if David Letterman had another secret talent competition, I'm here for you. I could make money from the practice
like,
office.
Hey, let me demonstrate my flexibility in working with you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
No.
Of it. And
you know what the funny thing is?
That's hilarious.
Now that I've said this, every person who's listening to this episode who's going to see me at a conference is now just going to want me to do it. That's like the only thing they're going to care about from now
on. Oh, all 12 of them? Don't worry.
It's gonna be hilarious. Like, you're gonna go to a school and they're gonna be like, oh, well, we heard from the grapevine that you can do this. And you're gonna be like, never again,
Rachel. I know. That's all they care about. Nobody wants to hear the optometry stuff or the contract stuff. They're like, we just want to see it.
They're like, oh,
yeah.
They're like, negotiations? That seems hard. Do you know what seems easier for you?
All right. Well, that's what I'm excited about today. Kate, take it away.
So, in the world of optometry or in the general world or just even in like the business world, what are you excited about? Like, what is just gets you jazzed and excited every morning?
Honestly, I get a little antsy if I'm not doing anything. I always like to try different things, and I love optometry a lot. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of cliche to say this. The funny thing is, I didn't grow up ever thinking like, I didn't grow up as a kid like, oh, I want to be an eye doctor. Like, that was never my thing. I didn't even mm-hmm. figure that out until after I graduated undergraduate, actually. I knew I wanted to do healthcare, something in healthcare. So I truly believe mm-hmm. that, like, we should give back and help people. But I actually was doing a dental track more. And then I switched after I graduated.
Gross teeth.
I know, right? But it's, I will say certain eye ocular disease is not much prettier than teeth. We know that. But.
Very true.
Regardless, so I never actually had that like super like, oh, I knew I was going to be an eye doctor my whole life. It was very different for me. I didn't like mm-hmm. so I didn't figure it out until after undergraduate, and I got into optometry school. And I think really what excites me, and this is the reason why you see me everywhere. I'm always attending conferences, as you said, is because I really just like people. I like meeting people. I like learning from people. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do, I travel. Around 100,000 miles a year. Sometimes it's work related, optometry related, sometimes it's, for fun. And the best thing I like to do is go and just meet people. Cause I think it's when you get to, when you put yourself out there, when you learn from people who are from all over the place, you'll see that where the similarities are there, you'll see where the differences are, but you truly get to really understand yourself and your place in the world better. You know, when you really get to travel more and talk to people. And I think this is something that really what motivates me. The optometry thing has allowed me to do that. I've never traveled more than I did as an optometrist. Even though, I'm busy seeing patients, I'm running a practice, I've never traveled more. So it's giving me the luxury of being able to go out there, meet people. And like I said, sometimes it's optometry related, sometimes it's not. But the privilege of being able to do that, I think, has been the biggest thing for me. And so it really excites me that I get to keep continuing to learn from people. Learn from their perspectives, learn from their lives. Like I said, whether it's optometry or not optometry, it's still kind of what drives me. And I think optometry is a very people-focused profession, right? We're all people. Our patients are people, our staff, everybody we work mm-hmm. with. It's all about building the relationships, maintaining them, growing them, and that's what really excites me. This is why I keep putting myself out there, because I just want to keep learning more. I keep wanting to meet more people and seeing what else is out there. What else, what other perspectives have I not seen or heard from? And, you know, while I don't travel all the time, I do know, I travel more than most people, but, you know, in between that, you know, it's almost like it's going out there traveling. And then when I come home, it's like, let me share to you what, you know, with everyone back home, let me share to you what I've learned. You know, it's all these things, all these ideas and thoughts that I've never thought about that people in New York are doing, or Florida, or, you know, Texas. It's like, it's crazy. You know, one of my favorite places is actually Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, I love the people there. So it's things like that. It's like, you wouldn't have expected unless you go out there and you talk to people and you meet them and you try things out.
Exactly. That's awesome.
Last question here. How do you want to make the world better?
Ooh.
I know. Oh. Tough one.
That's a deep one. You're going real hard on me right here. No softballs for me today, right?
She was like, what's your secret talent? Yeah. And then she's like, how do you want to make the world better? Yeah. Like, this is, Rachel has some very polarizing questions today.
You know, I always like to look, I don't like to dwell in the past, but I always like to look back and see what was done in order to kind of figure out what's coming up. And what's how we can move forward. You know, the biggest thing I do is I always want to keep things, make things better than when, you know, leave things better than when I, better off than when I first kind of encountered it. So, you know, yeah, I look at some things that happen specifically in optometry. You know, I think what really blows my mind, the practice I just purchased. So I purchased it last fall. So I've only owned it for about 6 months, a little over 6 months at this point. And we've been doing really well. It's been very successful. I'm really happy. Everyone's doing really well here. But the thing that blows my mind the most is the doctor who I purchased the practice from. So he still works here occasionally. He's still here. He, you know, he's on his way to retirement, but he's easing his way out to help he's here to help transition the practice. And he graduated before I was born. So he's been doing optometry for a very long time. And when he graduated in California, he went to SCCO. When he graduated here, we could not dilate. That's on how long ago he graduated. So, you know, when you think about in his one career lifetime, he went from graduating where we just did refractions, nothing else. He was able to dilate. He was able to prescribe therapeutics. He was able to treat glaucoma. And we're able to do what's called advanced procedures now. And in the next few years, we're looking at being able to do laser procedures. He's still practicing today. This is one career lifetime. All that happened. And to me, it's like, I'm looking at this as someone who just started, you know, his career. I graduated in 2016. And for me, it's like, I can't even imagine the stuff that's going to happen in my career lifetime by the time I get to that point where I graduate. Like, it's stuff that I would never, we can't even imagine. It's like the concept of it is just too broad right now for us to even think about. And I just want to be a part of that. I want to be part of that change. I want to be a part of that forward progress that we're doing. And in whatever capacity it is, you know, like I said, I don't even know. We have no idea what that's going to be, because I'm sure when he graduated, had no idea that he would be at this point. And he graduated. So who even knows? But I just know I want to be a part of it. So being involved for me is what matters. You know, being able to, you know, change the world in terms of healthcare, you know, being able to do my part, even if nobody remembers me specifically in the long run, but I did something that mattered to the world. That's all that matters to me. That's what I'll feel very content that I made a difference. Even, you know, like I said, it doesn't have to be my name plastered on the wall or anything, or they'll be teaching about me in optometry 50 years from now. No, I don't need that. But to know that I made a difference, so I contributed to the profession in a way that everybody else who'd done it before me had, that's going to be what matters to me.
Good answer. Woo!
That is awesome. Well, I have to say that this has been fantastic. Rachel and I are just so passionate about making the world better and negotiation and doing lots of different things. And I think, I mean, our hearts all align pretty similarly. Like, it's so, you feel energy when you are in a conversation that's about making the world a better place. And like, I just want to go do like a cartwheel, which I will not do because I threw out my back last week. Yeah. But there are so many good things that are going on in this world. And it's just so exciting that we get to kind of like share all of this with other people, and that we, you know, we're going to like, Defocus is going to double use you this month, but you know, just kind of get to use constantly sharing your knowledge. And so I appreciate you just reaching out to us and just being supportive of who we are
and putting yourself out there in such a genuine way. We really appreciate what you do. So thank you for doing it here.
What you're doing, I will say, I'm very impressed with what you two have done and what you have going on. And the biggest thing I want to let you know, honestly, and this is coming from the heart right here, is that what the both of you are doing right now matters so much. You know, to bring these voices out, to bring these perspectives out. And honestly, the truth is, you're probably not getting really all the thanks that you should be, because you are making a difference more than you think. And while there are a lot of people who are listening to what you're doing, you know, all these different episodes you have, a lot of them will listen and probably never tell you how much they appreciate it. So I want to do it for them and let you know that what you're doing matters, what you're doing makes a difference, and I want you to keep doing it. And honestly, I look forward to kind of just seeing all the amazing things that the both of you are going to be doing in the future as well.
You're the best. Man. My God. All right. We're wrapping this thing up on that note. That was great. Okay. This has been Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I've never done an outro, but I'm outroing on this note.
You outro, girl. You own that outro.
Bye.